As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
So every Tuesday, we head down to City Hall. We knock on the door of the mayor's office, and there he is. Our great friend, Mayor John Hamilton, is in the chair today. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, hello. Nice to be with you again. Good to be there. Hey, by the way, yeah. I just want to give a props to your newscaster, Diane Daly.
Oh, there you go.
We know she does a great job. She worked in city government for quite a while, so props to her.
And she used to send the trivia questions as well back in the day. So I'm not getting any inside scoop from here. If you've been listening on Thursdays, I've had my lunch handed to me about 5 out of every 6 weeks, but we're learning something, so I guess that's good. And hopefully, I mean, the people that don't like me can sit back and laugh at me, and that's catharsis for everybody.
It's like you're taking you to school, it sounds like. There you go.
I should have done more school, it sounds like. That's where it lies. Brand new month, here we are. Everybody's excited for opening day in the MCCSC tomorrow. You've already been talking to teachers, and I'm guessing you have big plans for tomorrow morning as well.
I look forward to that ritual of high-fiving and welcoming students back to school, which a bunch of us will be doing, led by the Commission for the Status of Black Males. And I just was talking to the superintendent today. He's gonna bring me a T-shirt to wear, and it's really fun energy. And the first graders are particularly exciting to see them. Do I have my stuff? Have I got my backpack that's bigger than me? And am I, you know, where am I going? But anyway, it's really fun.
Oswald's a ball of energy. He's ready to go and get everything up and running. So that's exciting. I've been trying to remind people, and I know you'll help me with it because you're a big fan of public safety like I am. 6, 8, 12, 14-year-olds, they don't listen all the time. It's first day of school. Everybody's excited. We're going to have different traffic patterns. It's going to be busier times at places that we haven't been busy for the last 3 months or so. Can we just all take a deep breath, and can you just write a proclamation to say anybody that's late to work tomorrow, can the boss give us a break instead of, you know, trying to roll through stop signs or do stuff? It's never a happy ending.
Let's just take it easy. Take it easy. We got a lot of construction going on. In fact, I learned there may be some more closings that done with the Poplars project going on, and as you said, the school buses are out. Watch for those big yellow buses, and take your time. And yeah, if your boss gives you a problem, just have him call my office. I'm sure we can handle it.
There we go. See yeah. I like that. Yeah, tell him the knucklehead on the radio said call the mayor, and I'll take the heat too. It doesn't bother me.
I did have a great time last week welcoming all the new teachers to the MCCSC system, welcoming them to town. And that was really fun. It was a big room full of, you know, a bunch of them are first-time teachers, not all of them by any means, but and they're transferring from this or that place, and a lot of IU grads, a lot of local MCCSC grads too, who are getting ready to teach. And that was really fun to think about them starting with the kids tomorrow and welcoming them to town. And I took some questions. They want to know good restaurants. They want to know how can I find a place to live and various things. But anyway, it was really a good bunch of almost 80 people.
How important is that connection, in your opinion, for your administration and the local school corporation to have? We know we're all in this together. Is there any influence that the city has with, or is it more of a working partnership? Tell us about that dynamic and how it works here in Bloomington.
I said to the teachers, you know, as a mayor, as I focus on how to help our city move forward and be a great place to live, there is nothing more important to that than the school system in terms of its effect on people and choosing where to live, what they think of where they live, whether to stay. And so it's incredibly important. I was on the school board back in the day, and both my kids went through the MCCSC system, and I did a long time ago, spent some years in it, but it's really a collaboration. But I'll give you, you know, one example that we work really closely on is the referendum, which is coming up. And I was very involved in that 14 years ago, and I tried to lend my name as a mayor 7 years ago, and we'll do it again because it's so important for our school system. And then we work on all kinds of things like parks and schools connecting and, you know, traffic patterns and improving ways kids move around and how to manage the schools construction. And we do the parks and the programming, do all kinds of stuff with the young kids. I do think one of the best days I had as mayor was when I got to get with a first grade class from Templeton, and we broke in the B Link Trail, which runs from Henderson over to Walnut, and it was a whole crew of us, and it was a cold day, but they were awesome, the kids, and we dedicated that trail, and so it's really fun, the collaboration between city government and the schools.
Yeah, I still haven't got on that trail. I've had most of the other ones, but I haven't. That one's
check
kind
it
of
out.
That's
check
the one across from the park, right? That connects Henderson to the Switchyard Park
goes
on the east side.
From Switchyard Park, right, and goes over to Henderson.
By Black Lumber,
and,
right.
That's right, and I think it may be one of our most expensive per foot trails because it's got a lot of railing and topography we had to get over and all. But it's really a nice link and an important link east west. When we first built it, Switchyard wasn't open, but now that
right.
it's open, it's, of course, even better.
Yeah, because connects to Bike Pass over on the east side as well, so it's all intertwined.
Yeah.
Mayor Hamilton is our guest this afternoon, the city of Bloomington's mayor, checking in, as he normally does, just after 4:05. And, yeah, you've been busy with those parks and recreation. Did I see late last week, maybe you're out at Griffey, the 50th year anniversary presentation out there with my buddy Mr. Cotter?
It was a real oh my gosh, it was a beautiful day. It was like 76 and lovely, and Steve Cotter and Tim Street and a bunch of other people were out there from the Bloomington Parks Foundation and the board, and we formally said, you know, this is 50 years of Griffey being part of the park system. Before that, it was really a water source and utility managed it, and it's since then been a park, and we of course have that wonderful new, I've mentioned that before, I know, the new accessible fishing pier, and the trail on the south side has started, we got a half mile of it improved, and starting to see that 6 mile circumnavigation trail that you can start to imagine that should be done next year. But it was really fun. We cut the ribbon on the first try. That's always good. And I got to do a canoe. I got to break in a new canoe, so that was fun. And the next time I went there, the next weekend, I saw people catching fish off that pier. So it's a good place. By the way, one of the best sunset viewing places in the area, if you want to check that out, too.
Well, very cool, as it faces west, obviously. Well, who sharpens the big scissors? I mean, let's get to the bottom of this. If they're leaving you out to dry with a dull pair of scissors, I know I don't want anybody to run with these, granted that, but you got to have somebody sharpen those up.
All I hear is operator error if it doesn't work right, so I don't know. But we got it right this time.
I think that's the title of my coloring book I'm going to put out next year. It's going to be 3 pages long, and the title is Operator Error. Yep, it's all the subtitle. Yep, it's all my fault. Mayor Hamilton graces us every Tuesday. We have some fun, and we get to serious subjects as well. And a subject that we've just been talking about for 2 or 3 years that we just can't put in the rearview mirror, flush down the drain, or throw it in a lockbox or a time capsule and get rid of it. But I keep seeing releases each week from the city telling us how many employees have the new form of COVID. The number is in double digits. It has been in double digits for a couple weeks. And I've also noticed there's a scheduled press conference with the old, they're getting the band back together. Do I need to be worried here? Because everybody's kind of getting this. Is this, what are we worried about, and why are we getting back together for that conference on Friday?
You know, we've shared that weekly press release. I know it's kind of like, wait, here it is again, but it is interesting. We don't pretend that the number of our city employees who are testing positive is a pure scientific thing. We're one employer. We're, you know, we can have things that bump around for various reasons. We've tried to be very careful. But now that we have really 2 years of data, weekly data on how many cases, it is a way for us to just kind of have a data point about what's going on. And as you indicated, we were in well into the single digits for a number of weeks, and in the last few weeks we've climbed into 10 and 10, and last week 14 cases. And that's indicating of what's going on. This this virus is here. The new variant is pretty good at escaping some of the shots that most of us have had. And so the group, as you indicated, our band, we've been talking regularly, and we've decided it's a good time to just touch base again publicly and just report on what's going on in the hospital, from the health department. You know, we're heading into the fall flu season, vaccinations expected coming up again, the new round, and we want to watch again the university students coming back too in a couple weeks. We just want to have the dialogue again. It is not a crisis at the moment, but we're definitely seeing more spread, and we just want to make sure we're on top of this thing. So tune in Friday at 1:15 if you want, and to get the latest on that.
Now, you are not, as we've joked for years, an epidemiologist, nor do you play one on the radio. But when you decided to get the group back together as preventative medicine, is there a different way of looking at it now because we know more about it, or is it still kind of confusing because it's a different variant? Or are you still, are the hospital numbers going to be the number we pay attention to, or we just have to live with this? But I don't know how we're from a city standpoint how we decide to live with it.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm checking it. Maybe 1 o'clock. It used to be 1:15. I'm not looking at
just be early.
So I don't
just
want you,
early,
don't want you
right.
to miss it. Yeah. Look, you know, we got into this thing and we didn't know what we were getting into, and we had terrible pressure on our healthcare system, and we didn't have protocols, and we didn't have a vaccine, and we didn't have treatments, and we didn't have a lot of knowledge that we now have. So it is a very different situation as. I think most of us were told there's not going to be a declare victory, banner that we hang up. This thing is going to be around. What we want to do is manage it, but we want to really pay attention. And the hospital, this is really driven by the health professionals, the public health
gotcha.
Department and the hospital, who say, look, let's talk to folks again. And I think our city government and our county government have been extremely supportive, as has IU, of that approach. And so, let's talk about where we are in hospitalizations, mortality, but we're in such a different, better place. We just want people to know why that is. And the main reason is because we have people getting vaccinated and being sensible and treatments that are available. But it's not a bad idea if you're in a group today or next week. Again, I'm not an epidemiologist, but it's not a bad idea to say, well, if I'm with a bunch of people indoors, really close, might be a good time to wear a mask, because some of them probably have this variant that they're carrying. So, let's just make common sense decisions if we can, and we'll again get that conversation going Friday.
And you can see that on any of the city's social media that will stream live, or any of IU's as well. Dr. Chuck Carney will join us tomorrow, and we'll get some more details from Indiana's side of things on that, how they're going to handle everyone coming back. And handle, it's kind of, that's the operative word. We just got to handle it and be smart with it. So that's right.
Yep.
Mayor Hamilton, we're busy. We know that August has just changed over. We know that school starts tomorrow for MCCSE, next week for RBB. We just mentioned Indiana University and everybody else coming back. Well, public safety is a huge part of what your administration is part of the deal. That's part of the job here. And you are looking, the city of Bloomington, is looking for police officers. There will be a open hiring process starting later this month. Is this part of the monies we have set aside and everything else you've been talking about with the council here for the last year or so?
Our police department's been a leader in the state for a long time. We're very innovative and creative, and we continue to evolve. And as you know, we've also increased compensation. We're continuing to identify how we deliver public safety as efficiently and as equitably as we can. We're looking for great officers. We do offer some new housing assistance and take-home cars when you live in the city and a bunch of other stuff that police officers may be interested in. And we're continuing to grow the non-officer side of what we do, too, with social workers and what we call community service specialists who are also helping deal with public safety issues from police, as well as kind of widening the fire department's scope, if you will. So it's all a struggle. You know, like any employer, it's a hard time to hire people. It's this confusing world we're in, where we have concern about the economy on the one hand, but also jobs where, you know, if you want a job, you should be able to go find one. So, but we're really proud of what they do. I like to remind people we're the only city in the state of Indiana that's got a nationally accredited police department and a number one ranked fire department in the insurance service organization. So we're really proud of the public safety level of service that we have here.
And speaking of that, well, the city council is in their vacation is in the rearview mirror. They are back to work, I would think, tomorrow. Give us an update on their schedule and what we should be expecting from them as August gets started and we roll through it.
Yep, they're picking up a few items piece by piece. I think they've got some parking and traffic regulations tomorrow, maybe, that they're doing. And mostly, from my perspective, in a couple of weeks, well, 3 weeks or so, we'll be starting the budget process, and we're kind of getting everything teed up till then, back and forth with them. And that will take up August and September. And then there's always something coming. We hope to finish the year out smoothly, though. But they are back in the saddle since last month.
And the budget, it gets passed, but it never ends, does it? That's not something that you just say, oh, okay, we won't talk about that for X amount of month. No. It's always next. What's coming down the pike? What's going on? We were going to draw some new districts. Did I miss that?
No, it's not done.
Okay.
Not done yet.
Are we still
underway?
Still doing that. Okay.
There's a group working on that. Yep. That'll do some new city council districts in terms of for the election next year.
And just from a general standpoint, does this come up every 5 years, every 10 years, when the council or the mayor's office decides it? How is this determined when we draw census? Is that the main part behind it? I don't know.
Yeah, it's all really driven by the every 10-year census, and we have to make sure that our districts continue to be as balanced as they can be. And
does that mean population balanced?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, some people don't understand it. Some people say whoever's in power redraws the districts because they want the district to be loaded for whatever it is. And some of that's probably true, but I don't know if it's true.
That can happen, and there are some of us who really think that, for example, the state legislative districts are crazy, I think, in a lot of ways. I've said this, I think, before, but, you know, when you have 50 Senate districts and 100 House districts, why don't you just make every Senate district equal to two House districts so that you kind of make them contiguous, you know, and keep it simple that way? But it's nothing like that. They're all drawn for kind of a lot of weird reasons. But now I will say this is really good. Our city is the only city, as far as I know, in the state that has decided to create a nonpartisan committee that will draw the districts and propose them to city council. So there's a bipartisan group of non-elected people, just regular folks, who are saying, well, what should the districts look like? And basing on principles of fairness, so that the same numbers of people in each district, and they try to keep neighborhoods together and make a sensible map. So that should be coming out in the next few weeks.
And that's by law. It has to be done. This is not a feel thing. That has to be done. And it's done the second year following the census. So there's a whole process to this. So if anybody's late to the party, we're trying to educate as we move on. Did you pull anything muscle-wise at the adult field day last Friday? Are you taking the Advil? Are you stretching?
Ooh.
Are you good?
I didn't see you there. Now, this is a new thing. This is what the Parks Department, our gold medal winning Parks Department, you know, is always thinking about what would be fun in the community, what could we do, and they developed this new thing, Adult Field Day, which we had last Friday at Switchyard for the first time, and it was designed for 21 and older adults to have fun. There were things like, I don't know, giant dice games,
yeah,
and
bowling,
kickball, and
bags,
dodgeball,
yeah,
bringing back bad memories for some people. I don't know, climbing walls. There were adult beverages, I understand, too. I actually couldn't make it, but more than 300 people showed up for an
event.
Outstanding. Which was really fun. They had a good time, and what I heard was some people were leaving like, could we do this every month? So anyway, it was a lot of fun, good times. I'm really, you know, it's fun to see the Parks Department try to use that park and activate it, and I'm glad people had a great time, and that's a super turnout. So we're really pleased with how that went.
Well, and the other part of this is it seems so simplistic, but Food Truck Friday was going on during this whole thing. You don't
right.
shut down one for another. That space, that property gives you the flexibility to be able to do multiple things, and the weather was gorgeous, and I'm an athletic supporter. I got worn out just hearing about all that discussion.
They do feed on each other, all that stuff. Anyway, the park's doing great, and you know, as we talked last time, Drool in the Pool kicks off in Mills Park
tomorrow.
Mills Pool, sorry, tomorrow and Thursday, and then that pool shuts down, and Bryant Park keeps going for the weekends. And as my parks director told me today, she said, well, when we shut down the pools, that's when we start freezing the water for the ice. That'll open October 1st. So they got a few weeks to get the ice made and open up the ice skating rink October 1st.
Well, there you go. Put that on your calendar as well. And no, folks, no. The Bark in the Park is at Mills Pool only. Bryant Park will stay open different hours, and that will be through Labor Day Monday. But Mills Pool does close down, and it will not open after the dogs are in it. That's not no. Doesn't work that way. Well, we want to answer the questions up front. So down the road,
there
people,
you go.
Are, I can't believe you're swimming after the no. There is no more of that. So get your dog in. $5 helps out. Well, we talked to your shelter director last Thursday. Boy, he was fantastic, and he said that you guys had an amazing week. Because you had a very kind soul who helped with the adoption fees and move some product out, for lack of a better a word. Is that something we still have to keep an eye on? Because there's really no off-season in the animal world either.
No, first,
Virgil Sauter was great, right.
Virgil's been a great ally and leader out there. And as you know, it was getting pretty busy, and we do really appreciate a local resident who helped support some of the costs of adoption to try to accelerate that, which is terrific. And you know, we built a new animal shelter out there, expanded it, and it's really a fantastic place for our city's furry friends to when we need to help them out, find a new home. They do a great job of placing everybody out there, all the animals. And if you're interested, please do check it out. They do a great job of educating people, informing people. They're really proud of the fact that when you do an adoption from there, they're very successful. The record is good because they do good matches and good training. And if you're hesitant about it or worried about it, just go out and talk to them and see if you can figure it out.
And I'm glad you didn't build a bigger one, because it probably would have been full.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and that serves our whole county. By the way, we work with our county friends to make that available for the whole county, and you know, it really reflects our values. I think that we want to take good care of our animals and find them new friends. And the euthanasia rate is among the lowest in the whole country, I think, and they do a great job of making sure we place the animals with the families, and you know, provide the kind of services to help avoid too many stray animals. And anyway, everybody can check it out there if you haven't been there. It's really a fun place to visit, or volunteer if you're interested in that too.
Absolutely. They can always use a hand, especially when the students aren't back yet, and they usually get settled in, as I used to be told, after Labor Day. So there is a gap. So if you're looking for something to do after school with your kids or anything else, well, find some of those places that allow families or whatever it's going to be, or get in now before, well, a lot of those kids at IU are do-gooders. They come back and help out. That's great. But if you want some of the premium angles, you might want to get started now. Safe travels.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I won't talk to you next week. I'll be on the road to a conference and a visit to our sibling city. So
put a good word in for me out there.
Weeks.
Yep, make sure. Yep.
I'm checking it out. All right.
Hey, well, be safe, and we'll talk to you here in a couple weeks. And when we talk to you, everybody will have just moved in and will get ready to. Oh, you'll be right in the move-in week. All right. Well, then you better travel safely, my friend. Thanks for your time. It's always appreciated, and we'll get caught up in a couple of weeks.
Take care. Be well. Thanks a lot.